Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here's our assignment. People think love is an emotion. Love is good sense. What is good sense? Good sense can be defined as wisdom, discernment, intelligence, cleverness. A familiar example of love as good sense can be found in our exchanges with the mentor. The mentor is always wise, with a perspective that is profound yet practical. What strikes us is the clarity with which the mentor can express what we need to hear. And no matter what information the mentor gives us, we never question the unconditional love that anchors that wisdom. This is perhaps why the sutras say, Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom of the heart, the highest wisdom. When we allow ourselves to explore something like love beyond the conditioned and conventional meanings of it, we touch into dimensions of conscious awareness we never knew existed. Today, explore love not as an emotion, not something to think about, but as good sense. Record and listen. Mm. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hey.
How's the road construction before we move on to anything else?
It is still going on. But
oh, my goodness gracious.
I know, wow. But right now they're right not in front of my house, which they were for a couple months. So they just travel back and forth carrying great big things. But it's still happening. I just heard them out there as we were starting to talk. So thanks for asking.
All right, good. They're alive and well. Good, good.
Yeah.
So what else is going on?
I love the thought of when they're all done, it's just going to be so beautiful, and it's all been fine. So that's good.
You know, Janet. So my little person is yard care machines that
uh-huh.
would not have to break your eardrums, but do. So, you know, we have lawnmowers and blowers and edgers and all of these machines that can just, you know, go constantly if you're anywhere in an urban area, right? And so my only consolation is I'm so glad these people are working. Without that, I think I would be tempted to, you know, go out there and try to break their machines or something. But they're working, and I'm really happy about that.
Yes. Exactly. So it's just how you look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lens you're looking through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't have anything so specific to this today, except that when I think of the wisdom in the heart and the mentor, I'm taken directly into an experience of oneness, like that experience of where we must have all come from, what this all is, that has nothing to do with anything on the physical plane. And it is such an it feels like such a powerful place of truth. And I can't really put it into words.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So,
if that makes any sense, when it says,
I'm curious where it leaves you.
It leads me to knowing that is the direction and that is what I want to listen to other than something else.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is...
And,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I don't remember what I was just going to say.
Okay, so does that make you... more open to love in the way this particular quote is describing it, or the way we talk about unconditional love, the that very, very large context that we don't know or understand, but suspect might be something like unconditional love or compassion or...
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm terming, that's what it feels like. I mean, it feels like it's beyond words, and it's so big, and it encompasses everything. And, you know, and that's what I feel like when I listen to recordings and I hear the mentor talking to me, or I'm just talking to me and I'm the mentor and I'm connected to that place, there is nothing that can be more loving than that. I mean, in my experience, there is, and it just sort of always, it's funny because it kind of lands me in a deeper place, and it lands me more in that place of love rather than anything, than any concept of, oh, this is love, or I love, or whatever. It's just, it's so different. I'm really having trouble finding the words.
No, you're doing great. You're doing great. And it's because fingers pointing at the moon, right? In Zen, that's a very famous expression for what you're doing right now, right? We have an experience, but we can't put it into words, because the word, that's why I personally use the word God judiciously, because the word God has come to be a belief system for nearly the entire world. And so people hear the word God and they don't go to the place that you're talking about. They, I don't know, it's vast. It's what's enabling a human being to even to have an experience of something that cannot be articulated. People don't tend to go to that. They go to whatever their beliefs and assumptions are associated with that word. So anytime we attempt to put these kinds of things into words, we want to remember that it doesn't work. We can't do that. And yet they're the fingers pointing at the moon. We don't want to get confused and think the finger has something to do with it. We want to realize that finger is pointing at something way beyond that.
Yes, that was really well said. And there is a sense in it, and more not a sense, but a deep knowing. And here we come to the good sense, but the sense that all is absolutely well.
Yes.
And that goes hand in hand with dropping into that place, or hearing the mentor, connecting to my heart, connecting to the wisdom that is all of this. Yes. And
yes.
I feel like I'm digging
a little bit more.
But it's a process. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a process, and in ways that make no sense, except as soon as we have the experience, we can sense it. It's a place.
Yes.
It's an orientation.
It's an orientation, and it's not the orientation that we are brought up with in this world.
Yes. Yep. There we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get. Yeah, I was thinking, I don't really get love is good sense. I love Ken Kesey, and I was like, I want to get that. I want to get that. And then I was just like, just forget about that.
Yes. Well, but to me, Janet, the connection is from that place. We actually can operate out of good sense, which means I don't know.
Yes. Thank you for
saying
that.
Yeah, I don't, on a very literal, practical plane. I don't need to have an opinion about you. I don't need to judge your life. I don't need to know who's right and wrong. I don't need to do all of that because I don't know. And being in that good sense of wisdom and the intelligence that animates us in that place, that process that we're talking about, that is as clear as anything can be. And so people can get all wound up over whatever it is, and we can just go to a place of, you know, I don't know. I don't
right,
know.
And in that place, none of that matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because love is possible.
Yes.
So yeah. No matter how wrong-headed I might seem to be, that doesn't mean you need to leave unconditional love in order to have an opinion about that.
Mm. Here come the trucks. Can you hear them?
Yeah. There they are. All right. Well, enjoy those trucks, okay?
Thank you so much.
Know that they, as everything else, are an expression of and held in the unconditional that animates all.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Right. Thanks, nice Janet. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye, Ashwini.
Thanks, Janet. Oh, what a powerful conversation, Sherry. There was so much in it. The part that still jumped out for me is that place of, it's what we don't know, but intuitively sense is so.
Yes.
That's why it makes good sense. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, Ashwini, when you say that, people, especially in a retreat, like there's nothing wrong with you, when people are often kind of at the beginning of, not that old timers don't do that retreat and have a marvelous time, but we do get a lot of people who are new to practice. And they want to know what center is. What do you mean by center? Well, you know, how do you know that you're centered? And, of course, the answer is you don't. That's the one thing that you, among many things, actually, that we cannot know. And so when somebody is coming from that centered place, perspective, orientation that we were just talking about, and they say something like, I think what I'm going to do is blah, blah, blah. And somebody says, well, how do you know that's the right thing to do? The answer is, well, I don't. I don't know it's the right thing to do. I just have a feeling that this is the direction. And what they're pointing at, of course, is I'm following a guidance that I think is coming from center, from life, from the intelligence that animates, but I can't be sure of that because we are vulnerable as human conditioned critters. And we can be fooled by sneaky voices of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. So I can never be sure. I'm just following that intuition that you're referring to and seeing what happens. That's the best I can do. I'm learning.
Yes, well, and I think part of the reason for the I don't know is because if you're here, we never know what comes next. So it's directional,
yes.
But it's not to an outcome.
Yes, yes, yeah. We never know what our opportunity is, what the gift
right.
is that we're being offered to take the next step toward freedom. We don't know.
That's right.
We can't know. It's not possible. And when we get to that place that this quote is pointing us to, the unconditional, we don't care.
Yes, which is why there's no outcome, right? Everything
well, yeah.
works out. It's just the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air.
Oh, good morning. This is Marianne from Vancouver calling.
Hello,
hey,
Marianne.
How are you?
Excellent. How about you?
I'm good. I had
good. What's going on?
Well, I just had a really interesting time with this one because I had somebody, an old friend from school, come and visit me. And I had ego go, just had so many opinions about this person and the length of their stay and what they were doing. And
didn't turn out as well as you had hoped. Great potential in school, but not really realized. Kind of like that.
Well, sort of.
And when will they go home?
Yes. And more sort of like, what came up for me? Well, what is friendship then? What is, because in friendship there has to be some kind of love. And it just made me go, well, I think that I have been operating under conditioned idea about what friendship is. And
ooh, that's good, isn't it?
I just went, oh, okay. So I had all this conversation going on, and I could feel the aversion building, and I just went, okay, just drop that. Just be present. And so I had such a wonderful 5-day opportunity to...
Workshop, retreat. You were on retreat.
To workshop this and to just go... I've had a block of what friendship is, and really, friendship is just being there for the moment and being with the person. And this person was suffering quite a bit. And I just felt, I just can be with them. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to make suggestions. I just have to be here. So it was a really, to me, it was like the practical side of what is common sense. Like there was, I know you have been speaking with Janet about the more metaphysical side of it. And to me, I caught the, what is common sense here is to be present and not to think, a friendship should be like this. A friend should be like this.
Well, and Marianne, see, to me, you and Janet are talking about the exact same thing. Because, so, what we see is when we're trying to point somebody to the unconditional, we capitalize it, right? So there's lowercase love, which we see in soap operas and movies and, you know, all of those kinds of things where, you know, I'm just wild about you and it's going to last, you know, 10 or 15 minutes until I really get to know who you are. And that lowercase love even applies to children and pets and, you know, all kinds of things where, okay, now you're really messing with my opinions and beliefs. And so you have to go, right? And then there's the capital L love, right? The good sense love that is unconditional. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, what you're saying is there's lowercase friendship, which means I really liked you in school, but now that I see how you are these decades later, not so much. And so I'm really not interested in being friends with you. Or there's uppercase, you know, capital F friendship, which is in the unconditional category.
Yeah.
Right? And that's because that's what you're describing. Being in an unconditional state with this person.
Yeah, it was such a good experience to see how I had such strong beliefs about what a friend is, what friendship should be, and
doesn't I. I have strong beliefs about everything because I is strong beliefs, right? And so from a place of clarity, thank God for practice, right? From a place of clarity, you were able to watch that go on and realize, no, I don't want to let ego be in charge of this experience any more than any other experience.
Yeah, and I guess the other part that dropped in for me, what dropped in for me was the recitation that I do every day, there is no self and other.
Yes, yeah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah.
You know.
Because Marianne, it really is true. What you just said, we all need to get. That those opinions that would close your heart to that other human being that are the same opinions that close your heart to you.
Yes.
And the stepping back into the unconditional for, in quote, that other human being has you stepping back into the unconditional for you. There aren't two sets of circumstances. There aren't two sets of rules, are there? There is no self and other.
Yeah, and it's so precious to have like a concrete experience drop on your head and just go,
yes,
wake up.
Yes, life in its infinite wisdom and compassion gives us just the right experiences for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Marianne. Mm. Yes, it's so true, right, Sherry, that place of if we don't indulge what I feel about this person because how they are is different from how I expect friends to be, then we are actually just with the person. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different, it is, and it's unconditional because no matter what is going on, the process I'm attending to is love. That makes it unconditional.
Yes. 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 Well stated. If my attention is on love, then there will be love for everything, everything. If attention wavers from love, it's going to go to that ego place of, well, this but not that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's such a powerful point. It doesn't have anything to do with that other person, does it?
Yes.
I just need to keep my attention on unconditional love, and everything is going to fall in place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all those ideas and what friendship is and everything else falls away. It becomes good sense in it's the only way to be. The only real way to be is not to be in the illusion of conditioned mind. And so, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
All right. I believe we have time for one, for our next caller. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Ooh, I heard somebody there.
Hello, Sherry and Ashwin. Jeff and North
Carolina. Oh, hi,
there
Jeff.
You. Hey, Jeff.
Well, gosh, this is a great exploration. So I'm sitting here in a public place, and as I'm listening to the conversation, there are people walking by, and I'm watching kind of the very process that's being talked about, sometimes there's noticing particulars about people and the kind of the judgments that are made or whatever. And then sometimes there's just, being with that, kind of whoever it is. This is, the seeing the authenticity or, being in a love experience, the unconditional. So it's really shining light on the places that are ego that I wouldn't have, that are egocentric, karmic, conditioned, self-hate, that I wouldn't necessarily generally notice. Because sometimes those judgments are in quotes, positive. And so the suffering is not immediately apparent. But it's really good to look at, look at, all this time that I've been spending in basically illusion, you know, something that's made up. And also, I love the point that was made about that it's not who these people are. This has nothing to do with them. This is an internal process, you know, that's being played out on this stage of life. You know, that life is the giant mirror, just to show this human being what's going on inside.
Yes, yes, Jeff. That is so powerful. So many people feel really bad about judging. Right? So you're sitting there and these people are going by and you hear that, he's so fat, or why does he have that on, or whatever it is. And people feel guilty, like there's something that they're doing it and that there's something that they can do about it. But what you're pointing at so clearly is, no, that's what's going on in conditioned mind. That's what it's always doing, because it is a system of separation. And so instead of identifying with it and feeling bad about it, you're just watching it. And you're watching what happens when attention is on that and you see it in action, and what happens when attention is on presence and you see what happens, and you're just, the awareness that we call Jeff is aware of those two orientations.
Yeah.
Which is what is illuminating all of it for you. You, in quotes, right? The awareness that is Jeff.
Right. It's really kind of fine-tuning the discernment tool, if you will.
Yes.
To look at, just, I love how we have all these different lenses that we get to look through. We get at least one new one every day. You know, Project Joy puts them as an email class, and you know, but we get at least one new lens to look through every day, and it illuminates something new. It always illuminates something new, something that I never occurred to me to look there before, look in that way, or to look for this, or you know. So
the excitement I project onto you is a real commercial for doing as much awareness practice as is humanly possible. Right? Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you. Where were you going?
No, you didn't interrupt me. It was perfect. Because what's the alternative?
Right. Sit there and get
because
a beating for being such a judgmental person.
Right. Yeah. Either I'm unconscious, I'm not living, I'm not present, and I'm suffering, whether I realize it or not, or I'm paying attention in the present to what's going on. And, you know, some of what I'm paying attention to, a fair amount of what I'm paying attention to, is conditioned mind. And just noticing that that's what it is.
Yes. Getting clear that that's what that is. It's not me. It is not me. I'm not in charge of it. I can't stop it. I can't change it. I can't anything. That's conditioned mind. Yeah. It's interesting.
Right.
I don't need to attend to it.
And every time I see more of it, there's more freedom. There's kind of, it feels like there's more of me, if you know what I mean.
Yes. There's more awareness and less ego.
Right. It's like there's a deeper sense of presence. There's more of me here.
Yes. Yep. Exactly so. Because you're stepping back more and more and more, and what we step back into is awareness. And so
what
now
we step back into is what? Oh, awareness,
It's awareness. And so more of your world is the world of awareness, less of ego. And we just keep stepping back. We get more distance on ego. We see it acting out in all these different ways and in all these different places. But the world we live in is awareness.
Right. I feel like what is happening is I get more and more present. And as I get more and more present, it's just so much more enjoyable, and I notice so much more. The other thing is that I have the opportunity to make conscious, in quotes, decisions, right? It's more, much more often, rather than just go blindly into the next ditch. I have a chance to look at this and, oh, right, I see. And I have a chance to make a life, I don't know what the word is, but kind of a life-giving decision. Again, it's not really a decision, but, you know, it seems like
a
decision.
Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going in a life-giving direction.
Well,
what becomes available.
Yes, and I for you and everybody, what makes that possible is that you're no longer identified with ego's right, wrong. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to get in trouble. Bad things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now your life is guiding you, and you realize all this is for your benefit. If you do something and you wind up in a ditch, there's no punishment. There's just this very kind, okay, all right, got it, thank you. Right? The world of awareness is such a different world. It is a joyful, happy. So again, when you read Rumi or Hafiz or those chaps who talk in terms of the beloved, the divine being a friend, like we were talking about with Marianne, it's a friend with a capital F, right? Mm. And that's what it's like when we're living in awareness.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
I'm very
beautiful.
Happy for you, Jeff. Yeah, I'm
Thank
very
you,
happy
Sherry.
For you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jeff. Oh, I so wish I could spend another 20 minutes talking about that conversation, but we're at the end of the show, Sherry.
Me too.
And I think that the assignment, as usual, is perfect for what you and Jeff were just talking about. Because it says, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Mm.
The desire to be unconditionally loved and accepted seems to be a universal human longing. Many people spend a lifetime looking for and failing to find the perfect person to fulfill this desire. Then there are the fortunate few who come to a spiritual practice and discover that we can stop looking. The unconditional love and acceptance that we're searching for exists within. With practice, we learn that we feel the absence of love only because we're attending to a mental process that speaks to us about what is missing. In being focused on wanting, we're trained out of having, even when life freely offers to us exactly what we're searching for. We may love, but we find ourselves unable to receive love because we have been convinced by a self-hating conversation that we're not worthy of being loved. Today, practice love as presence and let presence shift attention from what is not to what is. Record and listen.
Well, that is a rather lovely follow-up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll see everyone tomorrow.
Ashwini. Yes, yes. Go happy. Treasure yourself.